You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Come on around back here. It's 8 o'clock, our outdoor living hour, second Saturday of the month, so we are talking trees. ISA certified arborist, Mr. John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, who has just for the first time in his adult life experienced the power of boudin.
That is the first time. That is really good stuff.
Yeah,
that is really good stuff. I had my little fruit smoothie on the way over here, and that was was something that could really stick to my ribs.
Oh,
that was so good.
You know, it's hard to find something that's easy to eat when you get up at 4 o'clock on Saturday mornings. The program starts at 7, and after 5 years of cold bagels, I'm like, this is enough. We have got to get on CajunGrocer.com and load up the freezer with some boudin.
Man, it is so good. That's really you need to get, you know, they say a good protein breakfast is pretty important. And I've been looking for good ways to try to get that protein, because if you eat something sweet in the morning, you have these little sugar highs and lows and then a drop off around 9 or 10 o'clock. So you see, if you eat a good protein breakfast, it kind of keeps those that glucose level a lot more even through the morning. You won't have those cravings for extra food. And anyway, that would be a great source of protein for a morning breakfast.
Well, and the great thing about boudin is it comes in links. So you just take a bite here and you take a bite there.
There you go.
Just graze all morning long. It's good warm. It's good at the temperature of the room. It's a universal food, my favorite. But we're here to talk trees, believe it or not. And the tree of the month, we're starting this. I don't even try and pronounce the scientific Greek names. It's a Texas mountain laurel.
It's really a sign of sophistication and an absolute arrogance among our agricultural friends to be able to pronounce all these botanical names. Yeah, you got to pull off these, you know, Pithecolobium flexicolli. You know, these are. No, this is a funny. I love this name of this one, actually. It's beautiful. Sephora secundiflora. Sephora secundiflora. It's the Texas mountain laurel. And once again, we have another Texas tree that does really well here. A lot of these, like the Texas live oak, we have the Texas ebony. And this Texas mountain laurel is a really nice tree. It's a beautiful small tree. If you have one of those spots where you want something a little bit larger than a shrub, these grow to about 8 feet maximum height, and they're slow growing, but it's a beautiful evergreen tree. It has an awesome, large purple bloom. And it's called, you know, it's kind of gotten a nickname as the grape soda bush, because the blooms smell like grape soda. Remember having those grape sodas when you were a kid? They're just really... It has that distinct grape soda fragrance, which is really cool for kids, you know. But it's a beautiful plant and a little kind of a thick, dense, dark, waxy green leaf. And as I said, evergreen, holds its leaves all year long.
Evergreen, but it has a nice bloom.
Yeah.
And it's considered a purple bloom that they call the grape soda tree.
Bush. Yeah, bush. And it is kind of a large shrub or a small tree. It can be trained up to become a tree. It's rather slow growing, so don't be thinking it's going to achieve its landscape purpose in a year or two. It might be more like 5 or 6 or 7 before it gets up to that nice height that you want, where you can start to train it up to be like a tree. But if you want a large shrub that will give you some privacy screen, it's a nice, dense foliage.
I love trees like this. It may not be a perfect native of Arizona, but it's still a
really well adapted,
drought tolerant.
Yeah, full
low
sun,
water use,
full sunlight, low litter, great,
and has
great
color.
Around. Yeah, and it has color, and it's good around pools too because it's considered a low litter plant. So great for a shrub or a large or a small tree or a large shrub.
The Texas mountain laurel, very good. Well, that's one I don't have, but I've got a little area in the back corner of the property that I want to eventually slowly transition into a. Like kind of a little southwest, just strictly drought-tolerant native trees with colors and blooms, and kind of like a little my own little botanical garden back here on the back quarter or acre. And
that'd be a good addition.
This one's getting added to the list.
Good addition, yep. Nice little flowering tree. They bloom, you know, usually April or so. But yeah, they'll be a good one to add to your yard if you've got that little that small spot you're looking for something that you don't want to outgrow it. And by the way, there's on our website we've got an info sheet that has a tree list, and if you're looking for trees in a certain kind of height range, I've organized the kind of my favorite list in terms of their height. There's other characteristics you could judge them by, but I'm just trying to find replacement trees for customers of ours who've had to take a tree out for various reasons, but they're trying to replace it with a tree of a certain size. And I've sort of have a listing of plants, a few in the 10 to 12 foot range, below 10 foot, and then a few in going up about every 5 feet in height up to about 35 feet. So check out our website, itreeservice.com, and go to the articles, the fact sheets page, and you'll find that list of medium-sized shade trees.
If you'd like to talk trees, you can call in at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923, or you can send a picture if you've got a tree that you would like help identifying what it is, or maybe you've got some insects crawling around, you need to know what you're battling. Snap a picture and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com as we dive into our February to-dos and our talking trees. We're starting with trimming. Time to get the pruners out.
Yeah, this is a time of year we were telling you to kind of be careful in January because of the risk of frost. But as we turn the corner into February, you can start doing a little bit more aggressive pruning. Almost all trees can be pruned this time of year. We like to target February 15th to about April 15th as our target time to do heavier pruning on any of your trees and shrubs. If you've got some of those shrubs that have kind of gotten overgrown, you might want to do a little more radical cutback on those. This is your prime time to do that. It looks like the forecast is good going forward in the next 10 days. It doesn't look like we have any frost in the forecast. So time to get out your pruners and do some of that heavier pruning if it's needed. Also, time to target your citrus pruning especially, because those and other frost-sensitive trees that don't require a lot of pruning and ones you don't want to risk hurting because of the risk of sun damage in the summer, and, of course, a risk of frost damage in the winter, this is your prime time for pruning citrus. So if you need a little bit of grooming, I like to talk about it in terms of grooming and sort of just gently containing the size of our citrus trees. This is a time to do that. Citrus don't like to be opened up. You know, leave the interior foliage as much as you can. You can take out dead wood, but leave the interior foliage because it really does protect the interior from too much sun. But then if you have that interior foliage inside your shrubs, including your small trees like citrus, you can do a little bit more aggressive pruning on the outside of the canopy to control the size without there being a risk of sunburn, because that interior foliage is still shading those branches. So keep that interior foliage on all of your trees and shrubs, and it gives you a lot more options for doing reduction pruning on the outside. We hate to see it with that lion-tailed pruning where people strip out the insides of their trees for various reasons. And then when they want to do any kind of containment pruning from the outside, there's no secondary growth on the inside to kind of protect the interior. So you're kind of stuck with your tree getting larger and larger. The inside is completely opened up, and all you have is the lion tails of heavy foliage on the outside, and you can't very well take that back because you've got nothing left, no foliage left on the inside.
And on citrus, your most productive branches are your older ones. So you want to be careful you're not cutting out a lot of those interiors. Our lemon trees right now, majority of our lemons, I think the trees are 5 or 6 years old now, but because the older wood was towards the center, all of our lemons you had to dive into. As the tree grows and mature, it'll come out, but it was all right there at the base.
Sure, and different trees and different species have different pruning requirements, and you'll need to kind of do a little bit of research to know. But there are certain trees we definitely want to leave a lot more interior foliage on, and citrus is one of those. They have a very thin bark, about a 16th of an inch thick, really easily sunburned. They say that if citrus bark is exposed to sunlight for more than 2 hours of continuous sunlight, it will burn, regardless of whether you put tree paint on it. So keep that filtered, sunlight with those that nice shading of the exterior branches and your lower branches. Don't raise your citrus up really high, you know, and allow the sun to hit the bottom of the trunks. That's really a shame because once that trunk is damaged, it restricts the ability of the tree to conduct water and nutrients up from the roots, and you'll start to get dieback and some serious damage to the health of the tree.
Now, because we're close to one of those magic fertilizing dates, if we're out there trimming at the same time, there's no reason we can't spread a little citrus food granular down underneath the base of the tree.
Yeah, February is one of the four quarterly months for application of citrus fertilizer. So yeah, great time to get your fertilizer into the ground. You know, we recommend too, if you're wondering if you have any micronutrient deficiencies in any of your trees or shrubs, they might be showing some signs of some yellowing, some chlorosis. You want to be sure that you you do a soil analysis. We don't recommend just throwing a fertilizer at symptoms. It might be a good idea to have a soil analysis where we come out and take a soil sample, submit it to a local laboratory, let them send it back with your calcium magnesium ratio, your pH levels, and of course your macro and micronutrient deficiencies, if there be any. It'll give us all those levels. That way we can prescribe a fertilizer treatment that will be targeted toward the available nutrients in your soil. And we can do some things to even possibly buffer the pH a little bit to help you have better nutrient uptake. But it takes a little bit longer, you know, a week or two to get the lab analysis back. But we can certainly move forward with confidence that we're putting down fertilizer accurately and for a specific reason. You might want to take a soil sample in your front and backyard, or certain areas of your yard, so you can, because in a typical construction site, there might be different types of soils and different nutrient levels in different parts of the yard.